Welcome to Trinity Plymouth. Thank you for joining us for worship today.
Thank you. Thank you. therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And bless them to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been baptized in the name of the Father. That's the gospel of Peter's faith. That's the truth of Jesus Christ. The Word of God also teaches that we are all the same, and we're born to be our under the power of the God that is in Christ, and we're in the midst of his kingdom. will say yes, I renounce. I renounce all these beliefs and those yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God, Father, Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? Yes, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Son, God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born in the earth, buried, your child, who is deeply respected. Do it. Lord, have mercy on us. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food to drink, or with regard to a festival, or communion, or death. These are the shadow that hints upon substance belongs to Christ. But no one disqualifies, insisting on asceticism and persecution, going on in detail about this, puffed up without reason by the senseless mind. Holding fast to the head, bringing the whole body, nourished and knit together to its joints and ligaments, growth. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations which can't hold, not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts? Jesus came and found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb. to us here in Jerusalem about 2 miles off, but he has used the time to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will do." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God." And they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out. Found the linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, came to him. Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Not for the nation of Judah, but also to gather into one the chosen of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, he made plans to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus, saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Did he not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had been informed that if anyone knew where he was, they should let them know, so that they might arrest him. The Lord have mercy on us. Thank you. no longer a person to follow you. God looked at a picture of the real deal standing right in front of him. God chased out the Sabbath, the Lord of life, the life of God. So I was preparing to write this sermon. All this talk of battles and idols, certain ancient stories that are bad, so here's one. Stories so ancient that Paul himself the story is not in the Bible. It is not written by a Christian or even by a Jewish author. It is written by the Greek pagan nearly 400 years. The author's name is Plato. But it's clear that's not Plato with a D. That's part of Plato's document. This is Plato with a T. Because Plato was a philosopher, a professor of smartness. He spent his entire life looking at the world around him, asking questions about it, and coming up with answers, and then writing down those answers and teaching them to anybody who would pay to listen to them. Sounds like you wouldn't necessarily get rich off of it, but history shows that he's actually become successful. One of his most famous works, called The Republic, Plato tells an allegory, which is a highly symbolic story. It's all about human energy, power, and philosophy, and education to overcome what is eager and faulty. It's beautiful to look at this. Just so you know, the Plato starts with kind of the power truth that humans are not nature. Fails to understand reality. I mean, we see and observe the world around us, but we just don't get it happening. We can't tell the reality from falsehood, like being in a dream and not actually knowing the dream. It's as if we were all trapped in a cave, chained in one spot with our hands behind our back, somewhere back here, behind and above us, are some other people who are holding up puppets to one of the source of light. They're like little dogs, and they're jumping to you. Yeah, that's what it's like. So we're forced to watch these shadows dance across the wall. This is the reality that we see. And most of us are satisfied with it. We watch the shadows do something else that we're entertained by. We don't give it a second thought. We don't wonder if it's making it. We never really wonder about anything at all. We just thought it's great. We don't really think about it. Question your reality. By practicing philosophy, you create freedom for the truth. You start to really understand the world around you, to feel what it is. They notice that God is back up to the cave, which God is in the world. They start to escape the cave. And finally, reach the surface. They realize just how badly they have been deceived, how false and shallow they have been. They see people and fig trees. They see trees with broken roots. They see white clouds in the sky. Above it all, they see the sun illuminating. Plato says that the sun represents goodness itself, which comes from the source of all things. All those that seem like His goodness is something coming from our God. That creates to see it is. Some parts of Plato's outward faith didn't bring true to us as Christians. I think we agree with Plato that humans are by nature atheists, and we fail to understand the reality of our own. We don't all just come into this world because God is good. We have to talk. Usually Christians say that we're a lot worse off than Plato. We don't just not know anything. We are spiritually dead and enemies of God. This goodness that Plato talks about really does just sound like God, the source of all good things. The difference is that Plato is God. Plato is the way out of the cave, the way to God, ultimately the path to salvation. This is a lot difficult intellectual debate. In fact, Plato believes it would take years, even a whole lifetime, if you could ultimately come to the conclusion to reach the point where you find the God of sin. It's called out what it is. Salvation by works. Well, in this case, Plato was in the known truth. Salvation is not a reward for a lot of hard things. It's a free gift of God. Yes. It's not something that we could ever earn, no matter how smart we are, knowing goodness really was a privilege to serve just for the few best and brightest men in the world. We create the unfair obvious things. So, Frank, it would be frustrating to hear that all of us here today give this gift that we have received. Bear this fruit of truth. As you said, I'm actually underselling the gift that God has given us to our baptisms. One of the best that anybody could possibly receive is knowledge of goodness, God, and reality. But what Noah just received today, what all of you have already received in your baptism, so much better than knowledge. Through your baptism, you have been united to Christ, made members of His body. We are all destined for something far greater than any great gift that we can promise. I think that if Plato were here today, he would be frustrated about something else. You would dislike how kind and gracious God is to His people. But I think He would hate something different. He would hate to watch all of us receive this gift of God through our baptism, to be pulled out of pain, death, darkness, to be placed in God's light, reality, His world, to see see them face to face. Over and over and over, to choose to turn away from God's face, come back into our pain, find our own warm spot, God gives us grace. He gives us the real deal, just like those lost false teachers. He takes the chaos, he gives us the word to be forsaken. He gives us Christ's recorded words of God. He promises to give us our daily bread to sustain all of our needs. He even gives us his own body and blood to eat and drink. We forsake it all. Security, comfort, this world, promises, and he gives us true loving relationships to be able to our lives, especially our spouses and families. We pray with those relationships, so that you can find the support that God gives us to himself, to his others in our lives, to us, to care for him, to love. We choose to God to be with us. To be prayed up to be any normal human being in charge of bringing us out over and over and over again, to get an opportunity to do it. You don't left us in there to our feet. God, his life never stops climbing. He isn't afraid of the sun and players. He isn't afraid to actually go into the cave to get us out. He calls us to repentance, back to himself, both through his words of law and his word, and through his gospel, his words, his acts. He never stops talking to us, even if he has to communicate. That is many times we go to the cave to strengthen. The disciples were rescued. Soon enough, God will put an end to it. Jesus will return and create for us a new world. A world that is based on how we can live on him. That world will be no more caves to retreat to, no more shadows to chase. We won't feel any desire to kill. Our Lord Jesus is already the light to see your God. Soon enough, he will do it. And soon he will do it to bring us to a perfect heart and to be with Jesus. Thank you. sins forgiven in His blood. Grant us healing and relief from their burdens according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, your Son is the resurrection and the life, and through Him all the dead will rise, and through you, your elect, and the dead will be in your presence. We will offer to all who mourn, especially to the family of my Master, that they might not grieve as those who have no hope, but as those whose hope is the crucified and risen one, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, thou Almighty, through your Son, you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised us from the trial of the people captive to death, and made us alive in Christ's blood. Sustain us in this hope, that we may endure the tests, the trials, and troubles of this life, and be ready when our Savior comes again in His glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, O mighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this world, defend us to save through your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings be ordered by your covenant to be righteous with your Son. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Have a blessed day.